everyone, and welcome to the Outdoor Citizen Podcast. This is episode 69. Your host today, Marty Jones, and produced and edited by Owen Woods. Our guest today is Caitlin Fletcher from the San Luis Valley Ecosystem Council. Before we get started with Caitlin, I want to acknowledge the music that you hear from Don Richmond and the sounds of the valley's birds from Daniel Boyce. We really appreciate that. It adds a lot to the podcast. So, Caitlin Fletcher, the Communications Director for the San Luis Valley Ecosystem Council. Thanks a lot for joining us today, Caitlin.
Sure, excited to be here.
And we're going to get started by, can you give us a little bit of your background? What brought you to the Ecosystem Council and how long have you been here?
Sure, this is my eighth month at the San Luis Valley Ecosystem Council. I have a background in environmental science and journalism. Then I ended up teaching science to middle schoolers for about 4 years and then trickled my way back into communications.
And can you give us a little background on the ecosystem? Well, maybe not a little. Some good background on the SLV Ecosystem Council itself.
Sure. The Ecosystem Council has been around for over 25 years. It was created in order to advocate for public lands in the San Luis Valley. Before 2000, a group of citizens creating that council realized that there was no public lands advocacy organization in the valley. And this was also during a conservation movement. So Chris, among others, Chris Canale, thought it was essential to start this nonprofit. Even though she's not the first director, she is the longest standing director at 25 years this year.
And so can you give a little bit more of the background on what sorts of things the Ecosystem Council has been working on, some of the accomplishments of the organization?
One of the biggest accomplishments of the San Luis Valley Ecosystem Council was stopping the Wolf Creek development. It would have developed the wilderness area and the Forest Service into roads, housing. It would have become a tourist destination similar to Breck Vale and caused a lot more traffic up Wolf Creek Pass, which is already a dangerous and windy road. But beyond that, it would have impacted our critical resources like water, wildlife, timber. Another huge win for the Ecosystem Council is the resistance to the oil and gas industry.
Now that's one that maybe not as many people have heard of. Can you go into that in more detail?
Yes. So for over a decade, Canale, along with other nonprofits in the area, fought against an oil and gas leak along the Rio Grande headwaters area. And there has been no new developments in the valley for over 20 years due to that. I think hopefully we scared them off. But with all of the public land rollback of the rules recently, it is something that could easily come into play soon.
Well, and especially given that the current administration seems to be very favorable towards fossil fuel development and less so for renewable energy development.
Yeah, it's very interesting because the U.S. was actually the number one producer of oil in 2023. So we already are a fossil fuels powerhouse, if you will, along with transitioning to renewable energy. Both happened in the last few years. So the misconception that we aren't producing enough energy on our public lands is just wrong.
And interestingly enough, I just heard a report within the last 2 days that in 2024, renewable energy resources produced more electricity than coal resources worldwide. And so having renewable energy in addition to some of the fossil fuels is really crucial.
Agreed. And beyond the energy transition, where this energy is being produced is majority on our public lands. And this increase is actually now mandated by that big, beautiful bill and is opening up 200 million acres across the country for fossil fuel leases.
So one of the things that the Ecosystem Council is known for is protection of public lands. And, you know, we saw the privatization, or we see now the privatization of public lands being at the forefront of the current administration. What is the Ecosystems Council's stance right now
on the policies that are impacting our public lands?
Right.
It is, even at this point, it's going to take years to unravel the damage that's been done to policy around our public lands. So we hope that listeners today would find a organization that they like and really follow along for years to come, because it's going to take some time to get these policies back into place just like it did before. And one of the great things about the San Luis Valley Ecosystem Council is we bring that policy down to a ground level, down to the valley, whereas the Wilderness Society, for example, might be looking at this at more of a national scale.
And how can people get involved with the Ecosystem Council?
People can get involved by signing up for our newsletter, following our social media accounts, just like any other organization. We hope to, like I said, create actionable items for people to do here in the Valley to protect their landscapes.
When you say actionable items, what does that mean?
Well, public comment mostly.
Okay. So I know that, for example, one organization I belong to, Trout Unlimited, which is a national organization, but we have local chapters and so on here, do provide means where it's relatively easy for members to comment. And with an actionable item, are you talking about perhaps a template for a comment that someone could submit?
We do provide talking points. We do not provide complete templates as of now. That's kind of because we want people to take those talking points and really personalize them. I think that sometimes when that same template gets sent out over and over again, even though it is counted, it's maybe not as considered because it's not personalized by that member of the community.
So it loses its impact a little bit.
Potentially, depending on the agency and the department and who's reading them and when.
Right, true. Can you give us the SLV Ecosystem Council's website and some of its other social media feeds and tell us how to contact you?
Sure. Our website is slvec.org. Social media is the same thing. SLVEC is Facebook. SLV_EC is Instagram. Those are our main platforms right now.
So you have a celebration coming up in the near future called the Trifecta Celebration. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. So Trifecta, it is going to be a trifecta of 25 years. That includes...
So like a diamond, you know, if you multiply 25 times 3, it becomes a diamond celebration.
I love that. And it's even 2025, so we can add another side to that. So it's the anniversary of the Great Sand Dunes National Park and Preserve Act, which Chris Canale was actually involved in. That is when the Ecosystem Council started, was that act and that rally of citizens behind protecting that landscape. Then it is also the National Conservation Land System for BLM. It's their 25th year anniversary. And basically, those national conservation lands are the BLM's version of congressionally designated. The National Conservation Land System is BLM's version of congressional or presidential designation. It creates wilderness areas, national conservation areas, which one of those things, that is one of our projects right now. And it also establishes historic and scenic trails, wild and scenic rivers.
Now, I know that the Rio Grande, at least in parts of New Mexico, northern New Mexico, is designated a wild and scenic river. Do we have any wild and scenic rivers here in the San Luis Valley?
We do not. Wild and scenic rivers impact water rights. So it was not something that the valley would have been in support of or as an agricultural space would have been okay with.
Sure. Well, water rights are very important to our way of life here in the San Luis Valley. That's understandable. What about the BLM equivalent of wilderness areas? Do we have some of those in the valley?
We have wilderness study areas like the San Luis Hills. There's also a few other wilderness study areas in the Sangres that actually did not get pulled into wilderness acts when that went into wilderness in the 70s. And so they're just sitting there waiting to be protected.
You mentioned the second leg of the trifecta as being these national conservation lands.
It's a mouthful.
Okay. No, it's not. It's a slow brain. That's what it is. All right. So, Caitlin, you mentioned that the second leg of this trifecta celebration is the 25th anniversary of these national conservation lands. What kind of lands that fit that category do we have here in the San Luis Valley?
Sure. National conservation lands include national conservation areas, national monuments, wilderness areas, wilderness study areas, wild and scenic rivers, and historic and scenic trails. The Old Spanish Trail runs through the San Luis Valley and is established or designated historic and scenic trail. It runs up along the Sangres, along the national park, and up through Crestone, over Sawatch, and then into Gunnison. That is one major national conservation lands designation that we have. Another one that is a very popular recreation area is the San Luis Hills down in the Southern Valley. There's a few other wilderness study areas like the San Luis Hills sprinkled throughout the valley, but that is a major, major one. The Rio Grande Natural Area, even though it's a little bit different than a national conservation lands, it's still a different unit under the BLM management plan and is protected differently.
Okay, so you've mentioned two of the trifecta legs. There must be a third.
That is our dedicated director, Christine Canale. She signed on as the director in June of 2000.
And so this is the 25th anniversary of Chris serving as the director.
Yep.
Great. Well, where does this celebration take place and what kind of events are happening at the trifecta?
Sure. It's going to be on November 8th, Saturday, November 8th. At the Dune Valley Distillery in Mosca. We are going to have local foods, guest speakers from the National Park and BLM. We're going to have some live music and some auction items that are rooted in the San Luis Valley, in the natural landscapes and the heritage hotspots that we have here.
And what time is the celebration?
It is 4 to 8.
Four to eight. So November 8th, 4 to 8 p.m. at the Dune Valley Distillery. Is advance registration recommended or required?
RSVPs are required by the 31st of October.
Okay, so you still have a couple of weeks. If any listeners are interested in helping to celebrate the Ecosystem Council, as well as National Conservation Lands and the Great Sand Dunes Park and Preserve designation as a national park, all of that happening as part of the trifecta celebration. So what other things would you like to tell us about the Ecosystem Council or about the current state of affairs with public lands going on right now?
Sure. The rollback of rules on public lands is really what the Ecosystem Council is focusing on since March, since I started working here, and we'll probably continue focusing on as the attack continues. I think even though we won in terms of not selling our public lands to the highest bidder, that bill still sold out our resources on those public lands. I think a lot of people don't realize the systematic rollback that's happening. And we are ultimately subsidizing these oil and gas companies to extract national resources on our public lands. And then there's these private companies are selling them back to us without public comment or limited public comment, which is what they're trying to do, which is ultimately un-American and undemocratic.
So for people to get involved, go to the website. If they want to make a comment, you have some talking points at the website and addresses or email addresses for them to send the information to their representatives and senators.
Yes, our newsletter is probably the best source of that right now. We are trying to update our website to get all of those public comments on our website for people to access there as well.
Is there a place on the website to click if you'd like a copy of the newsletter?
Yes, there is a newsletter archive.
Okay, excellent. Excellent. We need to end this podcast with a question. Since it is the outdoor citizen, obviously you like to get out of doors. So what kinds of outdoor activities are you looking forward to as the autumn progresses and into winter and spring?
Personally?
Yes.
I am very excited to get out onto public lands to see the leaves still. It's still beautiful out there with all the yellows. I love to take my dogs out to the river, no matter the season. And
do they swim in the river?
Sometimes. Sometimes they end up swimming and not wanting to.
Yeah.
But yeah, they love the water.
Are you a skier at all?
I do ski. I don't have a pass for this season, though. So I don't know if I'll be skiing this season.
You'll be pretty busy, I think.
Yes, I will be pretty busy.
Well, Caitlin, it's been really nice talking with you. Do you have any final thoughts or final words that you'd like to share with our listeners?
This 25th anniversary is very exciting because it showcases what has been done in the last 25 years and also gets people excited for what can be done in the next 25 years for our public lands. I think I'll end on a Canale quote that sums it up nicely. This public ownership is now seen as a barrier to the self-interest of private industries that want to extract our resources. We need to stand up for our American legacy of public lands. And that's what we'll do this year.
Excellent. A worthy task. We've been speaking with Caitlin Fletcher, the Communications Director for the San Luis Valley Ecosystem Council. We're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. You're listening to the Outdoor Citizen Podcast. We'll be right back.
In Alamosa, our schools are the heart of our community, where students learn, grow, and prepare for their futures. Many of our schools have served generations of Alamosa students, but time and use have taken their toll. The Alamosa School District is seeking voter consideration on Bond Proposition 5A on your November 4th general election ballot. An approved bond would fund critical repairs and improvements to our school facilities. This includes school safety and security measures, upgrades to learning spaces, replacing aging heating, plumbing, and electrical systems, and a new transportation facility. Please cast an informed vote on Proposition 5A this November. Learn more at alamosaschools.org. Paid for by Yes for Alamosa Kids. Joe Martinez, registered agent.
Welcome back to the Outdoor Citizen. Unless you've been locked indoors, you have noticed, just like we have, the surging San Juan River in southwest Colorado and the surging Upper Rio Grande here in the Great San Luis Valley. Both are seeing historical flows from the remnants of Hurricane Priscilla, which made landfall in Mexico on Tuesday, October 7th, and pushed through the eastern Pacific and into the southwestern United States. Here's an outdoor field report from Del Norte-based photographer Ryan Michelle Scavo as she reports from the roaring Rio Grande through South Fork and into Del Norte.
This is Ryan Scavo, Alamosa citizen contributor and Del Norte resident. And I am standing on the banks of the Rio Grande right here at North Park in Del Norte, Colorado. It's 6:30 p.m. on Monday, October 13th. And I'm just sharing a little bit about what I'm seeing right here on the banks. The river's currently flowing at 3,300 CFS, that's cubic feet per second. The play wave, which we normally see, the concrete and the rocks and boulders surrounding it, are completely underwater. And the wave is actually quite impressive right now.
Andy Mastry, and we lived here in the valley for since 1997. And we have not seen the river this high in the summertime like this since living here. It's really good these days.
Good morning. It is Tuesday, October 14th, 7:35 a.m. I am currently standing in Del Norte, Colorado, along the Rio Grande, which is flowing at 5,430 cubic feet per second. Right now, standing next to the Rio at North Park and along the Riverwalk here in Del Norte, the river is cresting the banks in some sections, and the rocks and boulders that are typically visible, the play wave that is typically visible, have all been consumed. It's an impressive sight. It's overcast with some spotty blue sky, surprisingly. It is a wild and beautiful sight. If you plan to take a walk through North Park down to the Riverwalk here in Del Norte, I would highly encourage staying safe, giving it some space, observing from a distance, even from the fishing pier here in town. And be extra careful out there. There's still more water to flow through.
Pagosa Springs, our neighbor to the west, just over Wolf Creek Pass, had its evacuation notice lifted on Monday. However, another 3 to 4 inches of rain was expected midweek, which could put evacuation notices back in place. Videos taken by locals show a raging San Juan River overflowing the Riverwalk and the Hot Springs Resort through downtown Pagosa. Amazingly, the San Juan was flowing at 8,450 CFS on Tuesday, October 14th. The river hasn't flowed that high and fast since the Pagosa Springs flood of 1927. Vallecito Creek near Durango and Bayfield also flooded and forced evacuations in the area. In addition to those areas, the South Fork of the Rio Grande, running through Fun Valley, for example, west of south and west of South Fork, Colorado, is also flowing at an elevated level near historic highs, and Fun Valley is flooded. According to the Colorado Climate Center, the largest rainfall totals were at the higher elevation snowtell stations, which are located upstream from the areas with the worst flooding. The Upper San Juan Station, just west of Wolf Creek Pass, recorded 6.2 inches of precipitation over Friday and Saturday. Several other snowtell stations recorded over 5 inches in 2 days. The Climate Center said, "It's not too uncommon for the southern mountains to get a lot of moisture from a huge dump of snow, but it's very rare to see 5 to 6 inches of rain." Now, a note on La Nina, which delivered a good early punch through Hurricane Priscilla. If La Nina can follow through with a normal or high amount of snow this winter, then these rains of October will have positioned the Upper Rio Grande Basin for a very beneficial water season in 2026. That's a big if, according to weather forecasters, who report that a weak La Nina still exists and predictions for a warm fall remain in place. The remnants of Typhoon Halong have battered the west coast of Alaska over the past 2 days as devastating floods and hurricane-force wind resulted in the death of at least one person. 2 people were declared missing as of Monday, while more than 50 people and some dogs had been rescued. According to the Associated Press, Captain Christopher Culpepper, a U.S. Coast Guard official, described the situation in the villages of Kipnuk and Quillingock as absolute devastation. There will be a long road to recovery, officials said, but the situation is becoming dire as Native Alaskans prepare for winter. In addition to housing concerns, the AP reported, residents impacted by the system across the region reported power outages, a lack of running water, subsistence foods stocked in freezers ruined, and damage to home heating stoves. In remote communities where people store food from hunting and fishing to help make it through the season, the winter could prove to be especially dangerous. And it's not just in the United States. In the Catalonia area of Spain, over 19 inches of rain fell over the weekend, resulting in powerful flooding and erosion along the coasts and rivers. And now the news. The National Park Service is seeking the public's help in identifying an elk poaching suspect following an incident at the Great Sand Dunes National Park in September. The incident occurred in the Hudson Drainage area of the Great Sand Dunes National Preserve near Moska around September 9th and 10th. Features of the suspect and vehicles believed to be involved are a dark-colored Ram pickup truck, an approximately 6-foot Caucasian male, brown hair, close-trimmed beard, unknown age, wearing camouflage, a ball cap, and a backpack. The subject may have carried a compound bow with bright fletching and 2 elk antlers, 4 or 5 points, no skull. Anyone in the area at the time or with information that can assist in the investigation should call 719-589-5807, or you can send an email to grsa_law_enforcement@nps.gov. And the tips can be anonymous. Just a week or so ago was the True Penitence Climbing Festival, and it was the biggest year yet for that annual event in Penitente Canyon. More than 140 climbers took part in the climbing competition and festivities in the canyon. You can read more about it and view the photo gallery from Alamosa Citizen photographers Ryan Scavo and Owen Woods on alamosacitizen.com. Now a look at some upcoming outdoor events. San Luis Valley Trout Unlimited will hold its regular monthly meeting on Thursday, October 23rd at 6:30 p.m. Please note that this is an earlier start time than usual, 6:30 p.m. And it will be held at the Lindo Jalisco restaurant located at 1019 6th Street in Alamosa. The presenter is Mick Daniel from San Luis Valley Great Outdoors. Mick will speak to us about wilderness safety and first aid. The program will be primarily about safety in the backcountry. As always, the meeting is open to the public. Bicycle riders are invited to get festive at Alamosa's inaugural Halloween Boo Cycle Parade. This spirited, costumed community bike ride aims to bring residents together for an afternoon filled with fun, fitness, and Halloween celebrations. Participants are encouraged to showcase their creativity by wearing Halloween costumes as they embark on a ride through the community. In addition to the parade, the event will feature free popcorn and cotton candy, exciting prizes, and a variety of family-friendly entertainment. The ride is on Friday, October 31st, Halloween, from 2 to 4 p.m., and the costume contest will be at about 2:30 p.m. The ride starts at the Alamosa Rec Center, 2222 Old Sanford Road, at 3 p.m. It will follow a route from the Rec Center through downtown Alamosa and back. Following the event, find the Alamosa Police Department's Trunk or Treat event at the National Guard Armory and free ice skating from 4 to 8 p.m. at the Alamosa Ice Rink. And as you heard earlier, in this podcast. The San Luis Valley Ecosystem Council has a trifecta celebration planned for Saturday, November 8th. It's been 25 years since the passage of the Great Sand Dunes National Park and Preserve Act, 25 years since the creation of a category of public lands called National Conservation Lands, and 25 years of council leadership by Christine Canale. Now that's a trifecta worth celebrating. The event on November 8th is from 4 to 8 p.m. at the Dune Valley Distillery in Mosca, Colorado. Let the SLV Ecosystem Council know you're coming by registering at the link in the SLV Outdoor Report on alamosacitizen.com. And that ends this episode of the Outdoor Citizen podcast. The Outdoor Citizen is produced and edited by Owen Woods and published by alamosacitizen.com. You can listen to the show wherever you stream your podcasts. If you have an outdoor adventure you'd like to share, or if there are topics you would like to hear about in a future episode, please send an email to info@alamosacitizen.com. As always, we want to thank Don Richmond for his song Sea Turtle and Daniel Boyce for the sounds of the valley's birds. Until next time, this is Marty Jones saying get outside, enjoy this fall weather. It's definitely moist outside right now, which is worth celebrating. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy the out of doors.